direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Very thankful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We are studying this week John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus. This is a very powerful section because Jesus has purposely stayed behind while he lets Lazarus die. Now, he had said to them, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." That's the key to this section. Do they believe? Jesus stays behind. Lazarus suffers. Lazarus dies. He comes to them, and he finds all these people who've gathered around, and they are mourning. Lazarus, at this point, has been in the tomb 4 days, and I left off yesterday with this thought. This is one of those very tragic circumstances of life. This is not normal to the course of life. From our perspective, from the perspective of Mary and Martha and the Jews, Lazarus has died prematurely. Something's not right. Could have been prevented. Listen, how many times have you seen this with a loved one? Everything's going fine. All of a sudden, something happens that's a tragedy. And if the doctor had done something different, the person would be alive. If this little twist would have happened, the event wouldn't have gone this way. You know? You see all these things on the news. Fires and awful things that happen that could have been prevented. You see these things happen, it's easy to get very discouraged, you know. People begin to question the goodness of God. Does God change his mind? All these things are swelling in people's minds. And how does Jesus approach this? That's the purpose. That's the point I really want to focus on again today and lead us into exactly what's being said here. Jesus comes upon this death scene. The whole thing. They've witnessed Jesus do powerful miracles. They've seen him heal the blind. They've seen him feed the 5,000. They've seen him walk on water. I mean, this is powerful stuff. And here is a death, and the whole scene seemed to have gotten away from them and from Jesus with the thought that this was one thing Jesus could not have prevented. They're really struggling with the call to faith. How could this bring about the glory of God if he's died this way? It's so real, so relevant, connects so much with reality. Anyone who's faced this is tuned in right now real well. And if you're not, you will be at some point. Mary and Martha are in deep weeping, deep sorrow. All of this could have been prevented. You know, I said yesterday, as the pastor, I really struggle with the funeral home. There's a horrid sense of abandonment, of loss. Emptiness is really the word, isn't it? It's dark, it's cold, nobody knows what to say. It's the moment people are confronted with a reality that's going to sober up anyone who's just carelessly living through life. The silence is unbearable. It hurts. And we do what we can to make it nice. We have music, we have flowers, we have decor. Nothing can numb it. The grave is before us. It's awful. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes upon this scene. Jesus had said, of course, the Son of God will be glorified through this, and this death would indeed be for the glory of God. But he comes and he finds them in a funeral home setting. All of these people have gathered around and they're weeping. Now, the crucial point here to really think about today, the hard part, think of this statement, you know, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus said this. It's not unto death. He's died. The promise doesn't seem to have fit reality, right? The hard part in the interim period was for the loved ones to believe that what had happened can truly put on display the glory of God. There is an irreconcilable dilemma they faced. How in the world, if Jesus has said this will bring about the glory of God, that this death, this sickness is not unto death, how does that correlate with the fact Lazarus has died, my brother has died, my loved one has died? To Mary and Martha, it seemed as if all of this was beyond our Lord. He had turned his back, and this time he's met an enemy he can't beat. You see, we're confronted here with faith in the promise and a different reality. Their intention. Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." As I read this as a pastor, my first dilemma here is what? It's the question of the Psalms. Why, O Lord? From a pastor's perspective, why are they being put through this? Why do we have to see these things? Why does God cause us to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, the horrible experience of death? Why do we have to face these sorrows? The basic answer is that we're not home yet. I believe it's right, as one pastor said, the very thought of death, bereavement through death, the feeling of sickness and suffering and the consciousness of approaching death, these things all have a very beneficial effect on the people of God. They serve to humble the proud, to mortify the flesh, to check worldliness, and to foster spiritual mindedness. Mary and Martha want answers. That's a good place for people to be, like the disciples. What I see here is that initially Mary and Martha are struggling to live by what Jesus had said because now they've faced the pain of the loss. He's died, it's over, and once death has occurred, whatever once was now seems irreparable. You can't take it back. What can you say now? This is the great dilemma because what Jesus has confronted them with, and what has this scenario really, looking at it this way, what has this scenario really forced them to do? All they can do, dear listener, is be cast upon his word of promise. And when the promise in no way seems to correspond with reality, what do? I mean, think of Abraham. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and sacrifice him. Imagine the pain of that. Wait a minute. This is the only son of promise. The only way Abraham could go forward was to obey, but also what? This is it. To believe the promise of the gospel, regardless of whether or not my circumstances, my realities seem to fit that promise. She says, "Lord, even now, that this has happened, even now Lazarus has died," she's saying, "I still know, I believe that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." She believed that God had the power to raise him from the dead. Jesus here calls her to faith. Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." Lazarus will rise, Martha. Martha says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I know he will rise, but he didn't have to die early, did he? You're here." See what's happening here? She's being taken to the promise. Jesus in chapter 5 had said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Now Martha and Mary understand. There will be a general resurrection for believers on the last day. Oh, there will be a general resurrection for unbelievers too. But she doesn't understand the basis for that resurrection. She has yet to grasp the significance of why that is going to happen and the implications of that. And it's in this context that Jesus gives the most powerful gospel declaration and call to faith. In the midst of death, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, the pain of death, the sorrow of death, of losing a loved one unexpectedly, of a wife, of a father, of a daughter, of a son. Can the Son of God defeat death? It's the grand moment here of everything that the Christian celebrates. We just celebrated in the resurrection. Everything we understand. Everything that gives true consolation in life and in death. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, our Christ. What a declaration of hope. In one sweeping promise, Jesus took upon himself all the power, all the responsibility to swallow up death with victory. I am the resurrection. I am the one through whom there's life. And he says, though one may die, he shall live. Whoever believes in me, he's never going to die. What a promise. I just can't leave this today. Do you hear it? Dear listener, do you hear it? Dear unbeliever, are you hearing what Jesus is saying? If you believe, you are never going to die. Now, the opposite truth to that, if you don't believe, you will die. He's not just talking physically, is he? He's talking eternally. There are eternal consequences to unbelief. There is eternal suffering to unbelief forever and ever and ever. But Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me, there's no hell. There's no judgment. You're going to live forever in glory, says Jesus Christ. And do you hear the penetrating question in the midst of this? Do you believe this? I say that over the radio today. Dear listener, do you believe this? This is the most, if you're listening today, and by, in your view, chance, you happen to tune in. Do you know this is the most important question that could ever be asked? I am, says Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. I swallow up death and victory. I am the one through whom there's life. Though one may die, he shall live. Whoever believes in me, then he's not going to die. No judgment. Do you believe this? If you don't, I weep today. I weep today because you have no one to atone for your sins. You're going to die in those sins. You're going to perish forever in those sins. Jesus is saying, you believe in me, though you may die, you will live. This is the most powerful statement and call to faith I find in Scripture. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He has the power to raise you, though you may die, and give you everlasting life in a place where there's no longer sorrow, nor misery, nor crying, nor death, the former things having passed away. Dear listener, do you believe this? Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the resurrection and the life. Believe the Son of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.